Races with Steve. SiriusXM Sports presents At the Races with Steve Bick. Horse racing, handicapping, interviews, taking you inside the sport of kings. This is At the Races with Steve Bick.
A very good Wednesday, race fans and two-year-old buyers. Sirius 219, XM 201, Sports Zone 964. If you're listening to Sirius XM online and sort of at the website right now, yesterday's show, and we'll do this probably to the end of the week. Yesterday's show streaming now. And then today's show will start streaming at noon. So you're either going to be 21 hours behind or 3 hours behind, depending on when you tune in. But, you know, those of you listening to yesterday's show on the stream, you know, if you didn't hear the archive or pod yesterday, well, you're listening to some new material. I'll tell you one thing. Those of you that were listening to the conversation with John Dooley opening day at Indiana, I'm confident that somebody out there, some of you, got a piece of the two maidens at the monster prices. Tell me you did. There were real hints on those two maiden winners, and that's why I brought them up and suggested all pedigree, and especially when you're dealing with these Indiana breds that, you know, that are making, let's say, their seasonal debut, as a good portion of them are. So, you know, even though the favorites, horses like Too Bad Justice, this is in the seventh, even though Too Bad Justice and you know, a horse like Shine On Brad, even though they have experience and, you know, looked to have had, you know, okay numbers, they were coming off layoffs, and there's no guarantee that, you know, they're going to be, you know, ready off the shelf to beat first-time starters. And the early part of this Horseshoe Indiana meet, I think, is going to continue to have some opportunities like that. And, you know, as I said, with Pickle Feet, you know, the Sahara Sky colt for Merrill Roberts had plenty of pedigree. And Jericho Express as well had family to recommend win early type capability. And that's why they were, you know, interesting enough to consider as alternates to what was going to be a very short price favorite. Too Bad Justice went off at, what, 30 cents on the dollar. And Pickle Feet, 29-1, paid $61.40. And when it came to George the Man and Maker's Please, very similar. You know, we'd mentioned that Maker's Please was a full to a stake winner for Swifty Farms. And George the Man was a little bit different. And two wins for Rodney Prescott on the day. George the Man was 51-1 for Michael Nance. And that's what was appealing and why I had mentioned George the Man in that spot. As it happened, Michael Nance, with 24 starters, was hitting at 21% first-time three-year-olds. How about that? With a $3.18 ROI, that ROI is going to be healthy for a good long while. 24 starters is a good number. And you know what's interesting is 21% winners and just 29% in the money. So if they're ready, they're really ready to win. First time as three-year-olds from Michael Nance. And this one had run in October and in November. And actually, you know, considering what you were looking at, I understand why this horse was 50-1. Absolutely. But I should put up a picture of my notes from the other night where I've got a dollar sign circled and first three-year-old written as the notes on George the Man. There was a little bit of everything to get started at Horseshoe, Indiana. John Horan ended up winning that first race as it happened. I thought Horan was positioned to maybe, you know, win 2-3 races. He just won the one. Prescott with the couple of wins, and there was one winner of the pick five. There was a chance right off the bat for a pick five carryover, but there was a pool scoop just under 55,000. Total pool was 62,471, and thanks to those two prices, and you know, if I saw it, and I was using, you know, the pedigree information was coming from Thorograph, from the siblings and from the dam and the sire, etc., and the trainer stats. So it's, you know, some of these are tougher to decipher than others, but there's hints, there's clues, there's, you know, there's something. George Leonard starts the meet off nicely with that Spitzer gelding. Courthouse Cove, that was in the other maiden race, but got bet 3-2. And Mr. Kelly, you know, that in the ninth, you know, who was the favorite at 6-5. But you had the two big prices that made that pick five, and I haven't heard anybody get any details. First leg of the pick five, was it the first leg? No, second leg of the second leg, you had $15 winner for Dr. Gorham, that Liam's Map gelding Compass Point. That was a good price with Eddie Perez. So off to a good start at Indiana, back again today. They look to me, what'd they get? A little under, was it $1.9 million, give or take, I think. In addition, before we talk about the sale, and actually don't have a lot to have to, I'll wait really to say much about the sale day one, because Jessica Martini, never too early for a martini when it's Jessica Martini. And Fairmont, FanDuel, they got off to what looked to be a nice start too. It looked like, you know, just was watching, you know, what was going on there. And Jim Watkins, he did give you a couple of winners, right? I think he got beat. I know he got beat with one short priced type, but Watkins with two wins, Scott Becker and his partner with a couple of wins, Victor Santiago. I like Victor Santiago. I've always liked Santiago. He had a hell of a start. Seven mounts, three wins, 2 seconds, 2/3 for Santiago. So Rodney Prescott, two wins at Indy, and Santiago, three wins at Fairmont. Opening day, season's underway, both venues. We'll come back at Indy today, but not till the weekend for Fairmont. And I should mention, because I was watching and waiting for the draw yesterday at Oaklawn. We'll talk about Saturday, obviously, with Hammer on Friday, and we'll handicap their big card because it's Apple Blossom Day. We'll get to that in a second. Apple Blossom, short field, but four elite fillies and mares involved. So you get these kinds of races But what I did notice, and I want to plant the seed, Thistledown kicks off Monday, and Finger Lakes, the Flakes are back next week. They've got their first two cards drawn. Thistledown's got their opener drawn. And when we talk to Nick Tamaro on Friday, he'll be gearing up for the kickoff of the Sam Houston Quarter Horse meet. So there's your rundown on there's your rundown on the betting landscape, the wagering menu day to day. The sale off to a nice start, 5 minutes away from Jessica joining us, and of course one seven-figure seller, and our man Gary Young, Big G. He struck early, and then he struck middle part, past the mid part of the card yesterday as they were hammering the gavel. He had a $600,000 purchase early, and then came back with the big ticket item that Uncle Mo, as mentioned by Tommy Venturi yesterday. Wow. $2.3 million. And we'll talk about it with Jessica in just a couple of minutes. A tremendous pinhook score. And actually, even before this scenario with the $2.3 million seller that was a $250,000 yearling last year for Scott Dilworth. Dilworth had an earlier score, I thought I noticed. To ask Jess about this. There was another. Take a look at that. I know I made the notes are all over this stuff. So you get lost here and there. Where was it? I think, was that Union Rags? I think it was 306, if I'm not mistaken. Was a Union Rags filly, right? Yes, Union Rags 306 filly that Scott and Evan Dilworth paid $90,000 for at the Keeneland November breeding stock sale. This was as a weanling, $90,000, and that one fetched $525. So, wow, two tremendous scores, and that's one of the scorecards that you keep, right? So, Jessica Martini in just a couple of minutes to talk about the other stories and the hips to watch day two. They'll get started in about an hour and 15 minutes, but seemingly underway. I dabbled in one. We tried to get one filly, and we struck out. So went for about 50% above what I stopped, and then there were another half a dozen bids. So no good. But there's three more days. Then there's Timonium. And, in fact, I think the Timonium catalog, Fasig Tipton, I think the Timonium catalog went up yesterday, maybe, or Monday, because I saw, I saw headlines, and I went and looked, just glanced at it. Long way to go before we get to Baltimore and Preakness and the Timonium sale. The story there it is. There's Apple Blossom. The Apple Blossom being run when the apple blossoms are blossoming. the field, which, certainly starts with last year's winner, Letruska, second off the layoff for Fausto Gutierrez. And she already, instilled as a 7-5 favorite? Is that correct? I think that is, yes, 7-5 favorite. She drew the two-hole, and Jose Ortiz. Maracuja, also second off the layoff, and Rob Atrus has had her situated in Hot Springs, allowance win to get ready for this assignment. So she's one for one at Oaklawn. She drew the rail, and Ricardo Santana back aboard. And Santana had actually won the coaching club with her last year. Clairiere, second off the layoff as well. She's coming off the fairgrounds seasonal debut win. Joelle Rosario back again. And then CeCe on the outside. I don't want to be dismissive of Miss Imperial, Barry Ostrager, who breeds quite a few nice New York breds. This happens to be a McLean's Music mare that he claimed going back to December. And Hollendorfer's got, and going to basically, you know what Barry's doing here, claims her and is looking to get grade one a placement. If she can, you know, raise her game, she'd have to get back at least. It seems improbable, but if she could hit the board, she becomes very valuable to Barry as a broodmare. He claimed her for $50,000. So that's the plan. That's the concept. Maybe that's something Sid could mention, could discuss today. And then CeCe, of course. CeCe, who won the Azari over Pauline's Pearl, and She Dares the Devil. Victor Espinoza, long associated with her. So four super accomplished grade one mares lining up in the Apple Blossom. It'll be at 318. It's middle of the card, not even the middle, the race five of, I think, a 12-race card. There's also, of course, the you're getting both the Oaklawn Stake and the Oaklawn Handicap. So you get both of the Oaklawn-branded races on Saturday. I thought that wasn't that Oaklawn Stake? Wasn't that supposed to be, that was going to be the Derby Day feature, right? But I'll ask Hammer about that. The Oaklawn Handicap came up very good in particular. And that it will be a nice, I mean, it's, you know, it's grade two, but it's sort of a co-feature, obviously. And Beau Lumiere, Thomas Shelby, Last Samurai, Idol, Rated R Superstar, Plainsman, Superstock, and Pletcher, Tricky Pletcher, sends the Ghost Zapper winner, Fearless, out to Hot Springs. Might be driving there now. Might take three days to get there. There's your Oaklawn Handicap and the Apple Blossom, all right? So just wanted to give you a snapshot of what we're looking forward to. We're looking forward to a visit with Jess. Let me, Case, in case you don't have this, let me... We're getting back in the swing of Casey reaching out to the visitors. Sid, of course, later, Sire Watch Pedigree Focus, brought to you by Hill and Dale. And looking forward to kind of a conversation with Sid about some of the obscurities involved in the field. And that includes the Japanese horse, Crown Point, and I think we'll maybe talk about Summer is Tomorrow. Some of the ones we really have not discussed. And I retweeted Kevin Kirstein's little video. Zozos. I think we'll probably talk about Zozos because, you know, the ones that don't win, you know, as the Derby season and the prep season unfolds, they get overlooked, and I don't want to do that. Zozos is a Munnings, and, you know, may feel a little bit like a horse that, you know, is more geared to middle distance, but he also is a horse that, you know, negotiated the mile and 3/16, and I think is kind of fun. He looked super this morning in this little Gallup snippet that that Kevin Kirstein put up. Very, very appealing. So we'll talk about some of the lesser known, lesser discussed Derby hopefuls with Sid Fernando at 10 o'clock. Right now, I hear Jessica Martini in the background, and people are looking for next year's Derby hopefuls. You can acquire them today if you've got $2.3 million.
For the low, low price of $2.3 million. Good morning, Steve. How you doing?
I'm good. It's not exactly a blue light special, but, you know, you get the feeling watching what Amr Zidane, you know, is doing. It feels like Zidane is on a bit of a mission, and, you know, I think he deep down understands that, you know, the Medina Spirit DQ is not coming back in his direction, and he feels like somebody who's going to go out and he's going to win himself a derby one way or the other.
He's a man on a mission, for sure. I see what you mean there, for sure.
Talk about this purchase, because it leads off the sale, and it also represents a tremendous pinhook score.
Sure. It was a great day for Scott Dilworth, who had purchased this Uncle Mo colt for just $250,000 last September and sells him yesterday for $2.3 million. So it was just a great pinhooking score for him. But to your point that Amr Zidane is determined, when the bidding was going on for this Uncle Mo colt, the Coolmore team was out back, and Gary Young was bidding in the press box for Amr Zidane. And it gets to around $2 million, and when it's Coolmore's turn, there's a big pause, and they're thinking, and finally they go the next bid up. But there was no hesitation from Gary Young. Every time Coolmore made a bid, he was right back at it. So it was definitely, yeah, man on a mission there.
Well, and they had actually started the day, you know, fairly early. I think Hip 11, right, the Justify that went through early. This was the one bred by Bonchance, $600,000. And so, you know, just what, under $3 million for two purchases, and there's 3 days to go. I did not reach out to Gary after the sale yesterday, but, you know, how active do you expect Zidane to be the remainder of the week?
I mean, I think he's going to be plenty active. I don't think Gary's going anywhere for the rest of the week. This is where he'll be if you're looking for him.
Amazing. Amazing. You know, I mentioned as well, back to the Dilworths, that $525,000 filly, Hip 306, that was a nice pop as well, five times,
sure,
you know, the initial purchase.
They had bought that filly for $90,000 as a weanling, tried to sell her in September, didn't get it done, and I talked to Scott, and he said she was just kind of a late-developing filly. They needed to give her more time, and she came here. She worked great, and he was rewarded for that one as well. He was a happy man when I spoke to him yesterday.
that's tremendous. And was the consigners or...
Santa
Fanti consigned the Union Rags.
And it was and Top Line had the Uncle
Top
Mo.
Line. There you go. There you go. Well, in addition to that storyline, and by the way, that Union Rags filly to Red Baron's Barn, Rancho Temescal, $635,000 for the Violence filly, and this filly, it's funny, there were two hips that Tommy Ventura brought up yesterday with us, Jess, and it was the Uncle Mo, and it was the Violence filly, and sure enough, by sex, they're the two, you know, top sellers, and Carolyn Wilson with Larry Rivelli, and this is a nice pop for Eddie Woods.
Yeah, Eddie's had a good spring as well, and it was a good score for him. I think Eddie's perennially one of those people who has those kind of scores. Nothing new for him.
how active, I mean, in terms of the activity on this to go to 635 on this Philly, who's been, you know, trying to land horses that you've noticed?
Well, it's interesting. I thought at the March sale here at OBS, the Japanese really dominated the top of the buying list, but they have not been active at the April sale. It's very domestic buying bench here so far, through just obviously the one day of the session. So it's interesting to see. I think the Japanese got an American Pharoah colt, was purchased by Japanese interest yesterday, but that was pretty much the only big purchase that I saw from them yesterday. But other than that, just domestic buyers were very competitive at the top.
Well, and that was the one to Kaneyama Holding, $340,000 for HIP, $186,000. This was that American Pharoah that went 9-4 for Kieran Dunn, and one of the top sellers. Just looking at, I don't know what I should make the cutoff. Obviously, one seven-figure seller. We had four over $500,000. Then another looks like six in the 400s, and about seven or eight in the 300s.
Yeah, I think it's kind of a continuation of what we've been seeing, that that strength at the top, but the underneath is plenty active as well. And the figures bore that out yesterday, with the median being up 40% and the average was up 45%. So It seems like there's a big healthy market out there, not just for the top horses, but underneath as well.
Looking at some of the other notable stories, let's see, how about the Taprit, and we can get into some of the first crop that we always enjoy, tracking. I see the City of Light to Don Rachel for $450,000 that Niall Brennan offered, HIP 274. Here's the Taprit, that 181, Jess, the colt, NBS stable, John Ballantyne, $450,000. That was a $35,000 Keeneland November purchase. There's another big, big multiple, over 10 times.
Yeah, there were a bunch of those. I know Tammy Bobo, she sold a Curlin colt yesterday. She had bought for $40,000 at September and sold for $510,000 yesterday. There were plenty of people who had big pinhooking scores yesterday. It was impressive to see.
Well, there's the Curlin. HIP 66 went in 10-1 for Nick Demerick, and Mayberry Farm took it home for $510,000. Yeah.
Yeah, that's David Engordo bought that horse for, he's going to John Sheriff for the CRK stable.
Well, and there's, there's a portion of the story that's always fun to watch. Cherie DeVoe, I see where Cherie bought an upstart colt at 135 for $385,000, and she's listed as agent. Was that for the Jacksons?
I did not speak to her after that, but obviously upstart is coming on real hot right now, so that's probably part of that decision for sure.
Interesting. George Papa Padromo, I guess for Bruce Kretz, the Nyquist colt.
Yeah, Nyquist had a good, I know Kevin McAlphin sold a couple of Nyquists that he made pinhooking scores on. That was nice to see. He had a colt and a filly that he made money on yesterday.
Well, and I see the filly early in the day, HIP 54, went in 10 flat to Michael Levin, to Legacy, to one of the, that's the, that's another micro share operation, right?
And the other one, the colt, was 213. That was the one that George Papadroma bought. So Kevin had purchased the filly for 140 and sold her for 250, and the colt he had bought as a weaning for 100,000 and sold for 325. So he sold two Nyquists yesterday and did well with both of them.
One of the other stories, and you and I touched on this during the Gulfstream sale, after Gulfstream and after even the March sale, Bolt Doro. Having a Bolt Doro in your portfolio has been a very, very positive, very healthy way to approach this year's 2-year-old sales.
It seems that everybody's on the Boltoros. Absolutely. They talk about what great minds they have and how they look a lot like him. Yeah, it's a good thing to have a Boltoro this time of year.
Just Mendelsohn with a nice $400,000 filly, the one that went in 21 flat, this for Ocala stud, and bought by Woods Lane. Very nice. Maybe headed to Tom Albertrani. And who else? Gervin. How about Gervin for Ocala stud, $300,000?
Yeah, I did not see that coming, but he's definitely proven himself popular. I think he had a good sale in March as well.
Here's another Mendelsohn that breezed really well, 20-3 for Woodford, Dennis O'Neill, $280,000.
Yeah, there a lot of these horses seem to be going out west, and not just to Baffert this year. There are a couple trainers out, California trainers that have been busy this year.
Well, and Dennis, you know, Dennis for Doug, and you know, they're client bench. I see a Rapoli purchase. Jacob West, $250,000 off of Niall Brennan. Bernardini filly, $230,000. I see it didn't take Al Gold long to use some of his winnings from the Arkansas Derby. An awesome Slough filly for $220,000.
Yeah, people were talking about that awesome Slough. Awesome Slough filly. They really liked her, so it was no surprise to see her sell well. And I think that sire has also had some other successes. I think in March he had a good sale.
Yep, he did. And, you know, a very modest, you know, a modest fee and getting some six-figure sellers. Here's a free drop Billy, too, in 10 flat. This looks like a Japanese purchase. Yoshimasa,
yeah,
Ema at $230,000.
Yeah, and I think that was, I don't have it written down, but I think that was also a nice pin-hooking score for Waiver Tree.
Kieran Dunn. Well, off to a very good start. And how about some hips to watch, Jess?
Well, Top Line Sale had the $2.3 million horse yesterday, and they have a trio of horses who had the bullet on for the day last week, all by freshman sires. They have fillies by Accelerate and Army Mule, who both worked in 9-4, and they also have a colt by More Spirit, who has been popular, who's worked in 20-3. So they could have another solid day today. As far as pedigrees, there's a half-brother to Champion Dre Fong by Medaglioro that the Demerics have. And obviously Dre Fong is off to a fast start at stud in Japan, so it would be interesting to see if that increases this colt's chances in the sale ring today. And there's also Randy Bradshaw has a half to the Denmark Futurity winner Pinehurst, who's by Cairo Prince. So those are some things to watch for today.
The Drafong, you got to think that the Chews will swing into action, no?
Well, they've mostly been focusing on fillies recently, so I don't know if they'll change their policy. I mean, I know they also buy colts, but I think their focus has been on fillies more so than colts recently. But certainly they'd have a lot of connection to the horse.
They've shown a tendency to go back to the same wells pretty regularly. Interesting. And I'm just looking through today's pinhook guide in the TDN. One of the really handy sale items at this time of year. You can sort of pick out, you know, some of the big ticket items, but as we see from the pinhook results, they can also be horses that, you know, were very modest purchases, whether it be as yearlings or even younger. So it's all the individual, Jess, right? I mean, it obviously the breeze time, you know.
They always talk about all the hoops they have to jump through with a two-year-old staff. You don't know who's going to jump through all those hoops. But obviously there's some shrewd pinhookers out there last fall who saw things in these horses, and now they're going to be rewarded here this week, hopefully.
Exactly. Well, look forward to you and Christy working the back ring and the front, and there is...
We'll get you all the stories.